Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Tonight was the final SmackDown before Survivor Series. Tomorrow night, Survivor Series War Games. And before we got to SmackDown, we had a college football game that went overtime. I put Fox on it. I'm like, oh, there's a football game on. It must be on FS1, right? Because some SmackDowns have been moved over to FS1. I change the channel. I go to FS1. Nope. We have more sports. So I go back to Fox. Still, we got this football game. It's almost the end of the fourth quarter. No mention by the announcers. There's no crawl on the bottom of the screen. Nothing. Good job, Fox. So we missed the first 10 minutes here in the States. Now, if you live outside the United States, you didn't have this issue. You have live SmackDown right on time at 8 p.m. And the very first segment on SmackDown tonight, nothing important. Just the return of Becky Lynch. She is the fifth and final entrant in the Women's War Games match tomorrow night at Survivor Series. She will join Team Bianca Belair. So it will be Bianca Belair, Asuka, Alexa Bliss, Mia Yim, who is back to going by Mia. Really, she never stopped being Mia Yim. They were mentioning, you know, Meechin, which is her nickname, that her mother gave her when she was younger. And for whatever reason, on WWE.com for a while, back on Monday, they, in her profile, changed her name from Mia Yim to Meechin. But on Raw Monday night, they were still calling her Mia Yim. And since then, they have changed her profile page back to Mia Yim. So it looks like they have settled for Meechin being the nickname and not her actual name. I don't know what's going on, but you know, we'll call her Mia Yim. And on their team is going to be Becky Lynch, making her first appearance in the ring since the SummerSlam match, the excellent SummerSlam match that she had with her partner tomorrow night, Bianca Belair. So that was in the opening segment of tonight's show. Thankfully, we didn't really miss anything. The show was just delayed by about 10 or 11 minutes. Shockingly, they actually went into the 10 o'clock news. I thought they were just going to cut the show off, but they allowed the entire show to air. So I guess the news went on late for one night. We also know that Drew McIntyre and Sheamus have assisted their team to gain the man advantage in the War Games match tomorrow night against the Bloodline. That is how the show ended tonight. There is a lot of Bloodline drama going on. We had another interesting development tonight. Kevin Owens was in the building. We had a Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn backstage segment with Jey Uso, unbeknownst to them, eavesdropping on their conversation. And in the end, it was a Sami Zayn distraction when he was trying to assist Jey Uso. He was trying to help his Bloodline brothers. It ends up blowing up in their face. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus pick up the win. They will have the man advantage in the War Games match tomorrow night. No Roman Reigns. Roman is saving himself for the pay-per-view. He wasn't going to be standing around doing nothing on the show tonight. We had two more World Cup matches with Ricochet upsetting Braun Strowman. The Flippy Flopper himself beat Braun Strowman. Santos Escobar beats Butch. So the finals are set. It will not be taking place at Survivor Series. Instead, they're going to have the finals in Buffalo next week on SmackDown. It is the SmackDown World Cup, so I guess that makes sense. I thought for sure tonight they were going to add another match to the pay-per-view tomorrow night, and they did no such thing. Not only did they not add the World Cup finals to the Survivor Series lineup, we had a Bray Wyatt segment on the show tonight. Bray Wyatt was back in the ring. He had an in-ring promo. I thought that they were going to announce that Bray Wyatt and LA Knight were going to go one-on-one tomorrow night. We did have LA Knight on the show, but he had his arm in a sling. He had a crutch under his arm. And then he ended up getting laid out for the second week in a row in the back by who? We don't know. So there will be no Bray Wyatt match unless it gets thrown on there at the last minute. There will be no Bray Wyatt match at Survivor Series. I would still be surprised if we do not get a Bray Wyatt segment. We got a Bray Wyatt segment at Crown Jewel. They flew him all the way to Saudi Arabia. We had a Bray Wyatt segment there. So they may add something with him, but it won't be a match. Ronda Rousey is defending her SmackDown Women's title against against Shotzi. They both start with the same two letters. They did their best. They did what they could to try to convince you that Shotzi Blackheart has a shot at walking out of Boston tomorrow night as the new SmackDown Women's Champion. Of course. Anybody with a brain knows that the likelihood of that happening, there, you know, I don't want to sit here and say that there is ever a 0% chance of something happening, because anything can happen, right? Vince McMahon used to say that all the time. Anything can happen in the WWF. And anything can happen, but Shotzi Blackheart is not going to win the SmackDown Women's Championship. There is no chance of that happening tomorrow night. However, something interesting could potentially happen, I believe, at the end of that match. So we're going to get into all the goings-on tonight from this show, and I will be getting into my Survivor Series predictions. I wanted to wait until tonight, until I was live with all of you. We knew what the card was going to be, so we will be quickly running through Survivor Series predictions a little bit later on in the stream. This is your WWE SmackDown review for Black Friday, November 25th, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. Please, if you would, hit the subscribe button. If you are a new visitor here to the channel, we would love for you to stick around with us for a while, so go ahead and hit that sub button. Make sure your notifications are turned on. We have a likes goal, a modest goal tonight of 300 likes to unlock Be the Booker later on in the stream. If we can hit 300 at least during this live stream, we will do Be the Booker a little bit later on. And again, on the Survivor Series predictions, I want to hear what yours are as well. So you can send those questions in. You can send the super chats in. Let me know what your Survivor Series predictions are. And we'll hang out a little bit later on and go through all of that. I hope you all took advantage of these Black Friday deals. My toaster oven has gone to, I guess, the toaster afterlife, or wherever toasters go. Well, in the garbage, basically. But I am now in the market for one of these toaster air fryer combos. So I'm doing my research. I want to take advantage of these Black Friday deals. I don't know what to get. Nothing too big. Everybody, I feel like everybody I know has an air fryer. I feel like I'm the only one who doesn't have an air fryer. I think it's about time that Solomonster has an air fryer. That way he can air fry things. All the things that people air fry. Whatever that may be. So, we had Bayley. We had Io Sky. We had Dakota Kai. We had Rhea Ripley and Nikki Cross in the ring when the show went on the air. 11 minutes after the hour, I saw them all standing in the ring. And Bayley said that it was time to get it over with. They want to know who the fifth person is going to be in the women's War Games match at Survivor Series on the opposing team. Bianca Belair comes out. She's got her teammates with her. There's Asuka. There's Alexa Bliss. I know Bliss fan in the chat was very excited to see that. I know it's not Dark Alexa, but Alexa Bliss was on the show. Mia Yim was with them. They all come out, but there's no fifth person. And Bianca says that Bayley's team has five wrestlers, and her team had four. And she remembers saying that we were not coming alone. And as soon as she said that, we hear Becky Lynch's music. It says the man up on the big LED boards, and out comes Becky Lynch. She's wearing a black leather jacket. She is wearing black leather pants. Now she's a babyface, so no more outlandish outfits. When you're a heel, you can dress in outlandish way. I don't know what Seth Rollins is doing. I don't know what he's even supposed to be anymore. But no more outlandish outfits for Becky Lynch now that she's back to being a babyface. So she went down to the ring. She went right after Bayley. A huge brawl broke out with all the women. Lynch gave Bayley an exploder suplex. Rhea Ripley climbed up onto the apron, fresh off of her Thanksgiving dinner with Dominik and the Mysterio family. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Rhea got up on the apron. She smiled at Becky. Becky motioned for her to get into the ring, and Rhea was more than happy to oblige until her teammates came over and held her back and convinced her not to pursue this and save this for War Games tomorrow night, so she ended up leaving with her team. I was surprised they didn't save the big reveal for the end of the show. Yeah, I guess I could see why, given what they did with the Bloodline stuff. And the Bloodline stuff is the number one storyline going in this company. So you want to put your biggest spotlight on that. But I was surprised they didn't tease it out a little bit more, get people to stick around to find out who the fifth person was going to be. They just threw it right out there at the beginning of the show. But they probably would have been better off saving it. I mean, based on all the angry people I saw in my timeline who had no idea who the fifth person was going to be, and they were still watching the end of this football game. And then they go on Twitter and they see Becky Lynch is back. And there were a lot of very angry, a lot of very upset people who were not very happy about that. All the international viewers were mocking us. They were mocking all of the U.S. viewers because they got to watch the first 10 minutes live. We had our first of two semifinal matches in the SmackDown World Cup tournament with Butch representing the UK, taking on Santos Escobar representing Mexico. So Vega sat in on commentary. Now you look at this match on paper, you got Pete Dunne in there with Santos Escobar, right? This should be really good. It didn't seem like they were entirely on the same page here in the very beginning of the match. There was some kind of miscommunication that happened with them. As they were coming off the ropes, it looked like maybe Butch was supposed to bury a knee in his gut. Maybe he was going to give him a knee lift coming off the ropes. He just sort of grazed him. Escobar fell down and sold it anyway, and then immediately rolled out to the floor. So I'm not sure what happened there. Butch went outside to go get him. He threw him back inside. Butch was trying for a move on the top rope when Escobar shoved him off, and he took a rough fall. Hit the apron on the way down, finally landed on the floor. And that took us into the commercial break. A Aussie of Steel. Shout out to Mr. Aussie, a channel member for 4 months. He just renewed for 4 months. Thank you, Aussie. After the break, Butch took out Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde, the other members of Legado del Fantasma who were outside. Took them out with a standing moonsault off the apron to the floor. Escobar, though, caught him with a suicide dive right into the announce desk. And a little while later, Butch hit another moonsault. This time it was from the top rope onto Del Toro and Joaquin Wilde on the floor. So they repeated the same spot, only this time he did it from higher up. All of a sudden on the Titantron, they cut to a brawl backstage. Big brawl going on in the back. Drew McIntyre is back there. Kevin Owens, they're fighting off the Usos and Solo Sikoa. They're now waiting for Survivor Series. Butch is looking at this. Butch, of course, Sheamus, Ridge Holland, they're going to be teaming with McIntyre and Owens. And Sheamus and Ridge Holland were out there in Butch's corner. So Butch sees this, and Butch encourages his teammates, go backstage, you know, help our partners out. So Sheamus and Holland, they run to the back. That led, though, to Butch's downfall because he no longer had anybody there to back him up. He had a submission hold applied to Escobar. Zelina Vega jumped up on the apron to distract the referee. While that was going on, Del Toro and Joaquin Wilde interfered. And Pete Dunne ended up taking a kick from at least one of them. I forgot which one, but they delivered a kick. And Escobar finished off Butch with the Phantom Driver to score the pinfall and advance to the finals of the World Cup tournament. This was a disappointing match because I know that these two are capable of so much more. I had high hopes for this. This is a semifinal match. So you don't necessarily expect too much from the opening round matches, but you would hope by the time you get to the semifinals in a tournament that you're trying to make this tournament feel meaningful in some way. When you get to the semifinals, you have certain expectations for how these matches should be. This was a total throwaway match. And maybe they're saving their best stuff for the finals next week, but I know what these two can deliver, and this was not that. So this was disappointing. Escobar winning also made it a lot more likely to me that Ricochet was going to be winning his match later. So not a total spoiler, but once I saw Escobar win here, I said, I know exactly what the finals are going to be now. We got a video recapping the events of last week involving Bray Wyatt and LA Knight. They had that great segment. There's some great chemistry between these two. We've only had a couple of limited interactions with them on TV, but I have enjoyed what I've seen so far with these two guys. And it all ended with LA Knight. He was leaving the building. And then we came back later on and we saw him back in the building. He was lying face down on the ground under a pile of equipment. We don't know who attacked him. And, you know, obviously most people assume it was Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt has been accused of attacking LA Knight. So this segment tonight was Bray Wyatt's chance to respond to those accusations of whether or not he did or did not attack LA Knight. So they zoomed in on Bray's magic door right before cutting to an ad break. So we come back from the commercial, Bray got his full entrance, and then he stood in the middle of the ring, again in street clothes, and cut the following promo. Said, "My name is Bray Wyatt." It's a good thing he said that, because otherwise I never would have known. "My name is Bray Wyatt. I know that when I go somewhere that people are going to stare at me and they're going to whisper about me behind my back, and I never mind." He goes, "It never bothered me, but I pretend like I don't see and hear those things. But I have a pulse on what people think I am. My entire life I've been looked at like a rabid animal, but I'm not. And I know what most people want to see out of me." He goes, "They really just want to see the monster." He goes, "They want to see the fiend." Which, is this the first time that we have seen Bray Wyatt on television in a promo like this acknowledge the fiend while not actually being the fiend, but just as himself? I think it is. It felt a little weird, honestly, to hear him as himself on TV even mention the fiend. But he says, "That's what people want to see." And he goes, "And that's it, right?" He goes, "You want to see the monster?" And everybody cheered and went, "Yay!" Because that's all they want to see, of course. They want to see Bray Wyatt as the monster. So, I'm about to read, and I look out of the corner of my eye, and I see blood red. I see blood red on my screen, and that could only be from one person, sure enough. There it is. Paul Hamilton, the Portland pop star. Coming in hot with the $100 Super Chat bomb. Paul, I hope you had a very happy Thanksgiving. I hope you're having an even better Black Friday. Said yesterday would have been my mother's 100th birthday. She was a fan of WCW War Games back in the day. That's very cool. That's very cool. That your mom was a big fan of what? So was your mom a big wrestling fan?
Moo.
There it is. Moo. A little delay. We had a little Fox football delay before the Super Chat actually popped up on screen. I got ahead of myself there. I'm delayed like Fox. Shout out to Mama Hamilton. Hey, Paul, thank you very much. And I hope you did have a very happy Thanksgiving. So Bray says, "You want to see the monster?" Everybody cheered. He goes, "Come one, come all." He'd be a great ringmaster for Ringling Brothers if that was still a thing. He said, "Come one, come all, come see the human tornado destroy everything around him." He says, "But that's not the man I want to be anymore." And everybody booed. People don't want this Bray Wyatt. They want to see Bray Wyatt go out there and kill people. They want to see Bray Wyatt go out there and, you know, basically just destroy people. Ruin their lives. This is what the fans want. He says, "It's hard for me to explain the burdens that I've had to go through. I know what I've given to you, violence." He goes, "That's the only language I've ever known. So I have to be truthful. I am not the one that attacked LA Knight." So he denies that he attacked LA Knight. He said, "But believe me." And then before he could say another word, he was interrupted by yet another Uncle Howdy video. This time we had various clips interspersed here in the video of Bray from different parts of his career. I don't know if there was a shot in there from like the Husky Harris days or just the early days of the Wyatt family. I know we had clips in there from the early Wyatt family days. There were clips in there all the way to the Firefly Funhouse phase. And Uncle Howdy was speaking to us. He talked about how the world lies. Open your eyes. He can make you feel wanted, but it's just a lie. He says, "You should be careful. A snake in a cage is still just a snake." And it ended with Uncle Howdy telling Bray, or maybe he was telling all of us. Maybe he wasn't telling Bray, but he was telling all of us to wake up. And of course, he had his tear, his one single tear streaming down his mask. Now, there was something very interesting that you may or may not have picked up on. In the video, with all the different clips that they spliced in there, there was an image. There was not, more specifically, there was a phone number. So we're done with all the QR codes, but we're not done with the little clues. So there was a phone number, which is what you see on your screen right now. There it is, 888-280-3999. And I had to call the number and see exactly what the hell this was about. And so I've got a little bit of audio for you. I called that phone number to see who was on the other end of the line, and I recorded the audio, which is what I'm going to play for you right now. So this is the audio message that you hear when you dial this phone number, and I assume it's supposed to be Bray's therapist or his doctor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here's the audio that plays when you call that phone number.
Patient suffers from delusions of grandeur. Perhaps the most extreme incidents I've encountered. I'm concerned that no regimen of treatment or medication will be able to counter the imbalance of power in the patient's psyche. They're prone to disorganized thought patterns that communicate a sense of unmatched importance. Bouts of isolation seem to have amplified their inner monologue and honestly blocked out any outside voice. In short, the patient would need to think as highly of a medical practitioner as they do themselves, and honestly, that seems to border on the impossible. I've become concerned that this patient is such a danger to themselves and anyone they encounter that... Hello? Hello? Is someone there? Hello? Hello? I...
And that is how the phone message ends. Obviously, somebody has entered his office. He heard a noise, and then the line goes dead. What does it all mean? Probably nothing. It's just one of those little clues that Bray has been leaving for us, and there have been other phone messages as well. But all of it really, it paints a picture of a Bray Wyatt character who is deeply disturbed. A Bray Wyatt character that, again, is doing everything he can to be a law-abiding citizen and not lose his temper and lose his control and behave himself and keep his urges in check. But man, you know, you got people like LA Knight who are just poking the bear, stoking the fire, pushing him over the edge. The moral of the story is that Bray Wyatt is a very deeply disturbed, very dangerous individual. LA Knight is playing a very dangerous game. Speaking of LA Knight, he was in the back with Megan Morant, and his left arm was in a sling. He had a crutch under his right arm after last week's attack by who, we don't know. He asked, or she asked him, a question. He wanted to know from her if she had a happy Thanksgiving. And he said that he didn't have a chance to have a happy Thanksgiving because of what happened to him. He said last week he was trapped under a pile of Bray. And she asked what he meant by that, and he said, a pile of trash. And now that human trash bag gets to stand out there and vomit his lies to the world, and not a single consequence how pretty. It took everything for me to hobble in here today, and if not for this sling and these crutches, the consequences would be severe. And he would look him in the eyes and ask Bray, whose game is it? And Bray would shiver and quiver in fear and say, it's LA Knight's game. And then he would proceed to kick his keister in front of everybody. And that's not an insult. That's just the fact of life. And of course, he finished his promo with, yeah! It's the LA Knight punctuation to all of his promos there. Yeah! And then he walked off. Later in the show, we were not done with this, though. Later in the show, they cut to the back. And once again, we found LA Knight laying on the ground. He was screaming in agony, attacked by yet another person who we don't know. Somebody drove an equipment case into him. He was trapped between a garage door and this giant equipment case. He couldn't move. He had his injured arm in the sling. Agents rushed over to try to move the case. It was so heavy, I guess they couldn't move it. And so he was still laying there. So there is no Survivor Series match tomorrow, which is surprising because I really did think they would add something at the last minute. I was disappointed by that. I was disappointed they did not add the first match of what I'm sure will end up being more than one match between these two at Survivor Series, because we still have not seen Bray Wyatt in the ring. Bray has now been back. It feels longer. It hasn't even been a full 2 months yet, but for some reason to me, it feels a lot longer than that. But, you know, Bray has been back now for at least 6 weeks, right? 6-7 weeks. And we still have yet to see him in the ring. I know they want to give time to both War Games matches. This is not an AEW card. This does not have 10, 11, 14 matches on it. You've got a women's War Games match, which my guess is that opens the show. You have a men's War Games match, which has to close the show. And then in between, they have 3 matches. And that's it. That's the entire card as of this moment. Could they add something on the pre-show? They could. I don't think they've been having pre-show matches, though, for a while now. So it looks like this is going to be, I think, a 5-match card. I think there was still room to add one more match. I would have liked to have seen this, but I guess that we're going to have to just wait. We're going to have to wait a while. Now, after Survivor Series, there are no pay-per-views until the Royal Rumble at the end of January. So I have no idea when we're going to get this first match. It'll probably end up being on a random episode of SmackDown next month. There are no more premium live events between now and the Royal Rumble. I believe day one was officially canceled. I don't know if WWE ever officially made an announcement about that one way or the other. My understanding is that day one is not taking place. Maybe things have changed, but it's a big gap between Survivor Series and the Royal Rumble. So we'll see when they decide to do this match. But I have enjoyed the interaction between them so far. We had Hit Row taking on the Viking Raiders with Valhalla. Michael Cole on commentary said that we used to know her as Sarah Logan, but now she is Valhalla because she says that is the name the gods have given her. The gods being Triple H. Triple H has given her the name Valhalla. All hail Triple H, the god of WWE. So the Raiders had the early advantage. They beat down Ashanti the Adonis. They isolated him on their side of the ring. He tweaked his knee. Yeah, he's clearly positioned as the weak link of this team. Adonis eventually got a tag to Top Dollar. Top Dollar, not Nada. Whatever the fuck that means. He briefly ran wild until Ivar knocked him out of the ring. Adonis missed a crossbody but landed on his bad knee that he had tweaked earlier in the match. And the Vikings took advantage and hit their Ragnarok finish for the win. Speaking of Ragnarok, still have people telling me I need to play God of War. Is it that good? Is this Ragnarok game really that good as people say it is? So this was not a total squash, but this was mostly a squash. Because at least Hit Row got a little bit of offense in here. But this was largely a squash match. This has been to say the least, very underwhelming comeback for Hit Row, who is without, you know, their key member. They're without Swerve and without, I'm not sure with Swerve how different things would be right now, but I'm sure they'd be in a better position and probably more entertaining than they've been if they had him around, and they don't, and it's very noticeable. So I don't know what you do to turn things around for these guys. It looks like they're going to pretty much just settle into a lower mid-card role on the, not on like maybe one step above the male models. They'll probably get more television time than they will, but that's pretty much where they're going to be on this show. I think that's their ceiling. That's how it looks. And so very underwhelming comeback for these three, to say the least. Michael Cole was talking about a heinous attack that took place over the Thanksgiving holiday. They cut to the announcers sitting there at ringside, and Michael Cole was just disgusted by what happened at the Mysterio household for Thanksgiving last night. And this was a segment that popped up as a total surprise on WWE social media yesterday. I was actually sitting at my cousin's house. I was sitting at Thanksgiving dinner, and I see this breaking news video that Rey Mysterio has been attacked at Thanksgiving dinner by his own son. And I sat there at the table. People were like, what are you watching? I'm watching this video. People are screaming. Dominic is telling his mother, calm down, calm down. There's no need to scream. He's talking about mommy. He introduces mommy to mommy, right? He's got Rhea. He's introducing her to the family. I mean, this was great. I love this video. This video was fucking great. This is the sort of content I want to see them doing more of. This was a nice surprise that popped up. And the best part of the entire thing was when they come to the door, Rey's wife, so Dominic's mom, answers the door. And by the way, Rey has a fucking nice house. He's got like the little Mysterio mansion there. So his wife opens the door, and I love how she acknowledges you're filming. What the camera, what are you doing? And she closes the door to go get her husband. Rey comes to the door. It looks like he just frantically put a mask on, right? Got to put a mask on. I'm sure he has a different mask located in different parts of the house. And you never know who might show up, right? The mailman rings the doorbell. If he has some big package to deliver, maybe it's the UPS guy. Maybe it's the FedEx guy. Maybe the lawnmower man is going to go cut the grass in the back. You got to tip the guy. Ray's got a mask for that. He's got one next to his nightstand. He has one in the kitchen. He has one in the living room area. He has one in the bathroom, under the sink, right next to the shitter. He's got masks all over the house. So he quickly put a mask on. And he had a walking boot on because Rey has not wrestled in about a month. He had suffered an injury. He was supposed to be in the World Cup. That's why they put Mustafa Ali in there in his place. So he's been injured. Obviously, it's a foot injury. But I love that he at least had enough sense to throw his mask on when he answered the door. And he went to go close the door, and Rhea shoved the door open, and he fell on the floor, and he called her a bitch, which they believed. And then Dominic attacks his father. Dominic then is acknowledging all the nice family-framed photos. He breaks one over Ray's foot, drags him, literally drags him across the floor, has Rhea put his foot on Ray, which, by the way, the comments that I saw under this WWE tweet are something else. As soon as Rhea put her boot down on Ray's neck, you had people in the comments, me next, posting Dolph Ziggler memes. It should have been me. It should have been me. These people need to get some air. They need to go outside and touch grass. So here comes Dominic, and I swear to God, when Dominic walked back into camera frame, I thought he had a kendo stick. And I thought, are you fucking kidding me? These wrestlers keep kendo sticks in their house just in case a brawl breaks out. It looked like a kendo stick. And then I saw it was a broom. And you hear, you know, Dominic's mom in the background is yelling, and Dominic is like, calm down, what are you yelling for? And he breaks the broom handle over Ray's foot. He's screaming in pain. And then Dominic and Rhea, they walk out and they leave together. I thought that this was absolutely fantastic. And I have to tell you that Dominic has really been coming into his own as a heel, as part of the Judgment Day. This has been the best possible thing, getting him away from his father and turning him heel and letting him show more of his personality is the best thing that ever happened to him. And I compare it to The Rock. Now, I have no idea if Dominic Mysterio will be one half of what The Rock ended up becoming. I'm just using him as an example where you had this guy who was this smiling baby face and people got sick of seeing him. And then he had the chance to turn heel and let the fans know what he really thought about them. But he had the chance to align with this group, right? The Nation of Domination. He joined the Nation. He joined the Nation. He sat under the learning tree with Ron Simmons. And he was able to open up and show off more of his personality. Dominic gets away from his father, turns heel. He joins the Judgment Day. Now he's sitting under the learning tree with Finn Balor, who's been around for a while. The stuff with Rhea, I mean, this stuff has been fucking great. So Dominic is really coming into his own. I feel like he's really embraced this role. And now I'll tell you what, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what they do for Christmas. I think that these two should show up on every holiday. They should show up to the Mysterio household on every major holiday and just beat the crap out of Rey Mysterio. When Rey is trying to take his wife out for a nice Valentine's Day dinner, right? They show up at the restaurant and they smash a wine bottle over his head. I mean, you can do this. I mean, you pick a holiday. My God, you know, St. Patrick. I don't know why the Mysterios would be celebrating St. Patrick's Day, but you know what I mean. This is the kind of content that I want to see more of. So I thought this was fantastic. I don't know why Michael Cole was so upset. We had Braun Strowman in the World Cup semifinals, one-on-one with the flippiest of flippy floppers in Ricochet. Ricochet angered Strowman at the beginning with a slap to the face. And Ricochet, and he ended up getting bounced around the ring by Braun. They ended up outside. Braun just body checked him over the announce desk. I mean, he was having his way with this guy. So Strowman is in firm control here in this match. Back in the ring, he beels Ricochet halfway across the ring. All of a sudden, here comes Gunther and the rest of Imperium walking down to the ring, and Braun sees this, and this is enough of a distraction with Imperium coming down to the ring that Ricochet catches Braun with a crucifix and takes him over and pins him to advance to the finals of the World Cup tournament, where he will now be wrestling next week in Buffalo against Santos Escobar. So that is Braun Strowman's first loss since coming back to the company. And he was pinned here in this match by Ricochet. Now, after the match was over, Ricochet went to the back. Imperium got into the ring. They ganged up on Strowman. Ricochet saw this. He came back down to the ring to make the save. They overwhelmed Ricochet. Strowman ended up clearing all the heels from the ring. Strowman looks over. He sees Ricochet sitting down in the corner. What's he going to do? Right? Maybe he'll bust out his phone and tweet something about him. He walks over to Ricochet, extends his hand. He helps him to his feet. Big reaction for him helping Ricochet to his feet. And then he raises Ricochet's arm and everybody cheers. This felt like a blatant attempt to rehab Strowman's image after his dumb tweet. Let me go over and endorse the little guy. And I guess it worked because everybody in the building cheered. They liked what they saw. So we had the flippy flopper get a win over the big guy, even though he needed help to do it. He did not win this match on his own. He needed help to get the job done. Because before Imperium came out, Ricochet was being bounced around like a rubber ball. He was getting his ass handed to him in this match. Until Gunther and Fabian Aichner and Marcel Bartel came out. Or Giovanni Vinci. I still call him Fabian Aichner. Old habits die hard. So this is the guy that they're sending to the finals of this tournament next week. The guy who only reason that he won this match is because somebody came out to distract his opponent. He basically got, it wasn't a roll-up, but he basically got the distraction roll-up finish. And so now he moves to the finals. Oh, great. Okay. The guy who needed a distraction to win the match is now going to the finals of this tournament next week. And I'm supposed to be excited about this. Why? This is my biggest problem with what they did here in these matches tonight. They have spent the last 2 weeks, and last week we had Gunther, the Intercontinental Champion, who has largely been protected, and I've been very complimentary of their booking for as far as he goes. They had the Intercontinental Champion running away from Braun Strowman, not once, not twice, but three times he ran away from this man, which I thought was so stupid and foolish. And then this week they have Imperium come out and cost Braun Strowman the match, which is only going to anger Braun even more and get the people who want to see Braun kick his ass to want to see that match. The match that they have built up for the Intercontinental Championship is not the match that we are now going to get coming out of the finals of this tournament. All they've said is that the winner of the World Cup is going to get an Intercontinental title match with Gunther down the road. That's what Michael Cole said. Down the road. How many miles down the road? We don't know, but down the road. Yeah, but that's not the match now that you have been building up that people want to see. The match that you've been building up that people want to see are the two big guys going one-on-one, Braun Strowman and Gunther. And now that Strowman has been bounced out of the tournament, we have no chance of seeing that match. I mean, we'll still get it at some point. But you're promoting a finals for a match that the people do not want to see. We've already seen Ricochet lose three different times to Gunther. Santos Escobar against Gunther doesn't even make any sense. You really think they're going to do heel against heel like that? That doesn't make a lot of sense. And I like Santos Escobar. This tournament should have been designed with the idea that Santos Escobar would go all the way and would win, right? And this could be like a nice way to launch him by giving him a World Cup tournament win to kind of get him going and really kickstart his singles run here on SmackDown. And I'm still pulling for him to win. I'd love to see him win the entire tournament, but what does it mean? What does it really mean? This is not the match that people want to see. They've conditioned people to want to see Braun Strowman get their hands on Gunther because Gunther went running from him like a scared little child last week. Now you're not going to give us the match. You're going to make us wait for that match and give us another match that nobody cares about. And that's what the World Cup is supposed to be. The World Cup has already been rendered meaningless. This booking renders this tournament effectively meaningless. So I think the booking of this is all screwed up, just completely screwed up. This World Cup should have been designed to really help get Santos Escobar over. I don't see how this does that. The bigger match here is the one that they've now denied us. And we'll end up getting it anyway, and this tournament will be rendered useless. So I don't really understand what the point of any of this was.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Sami Zayn was shown in the back, and he was walking towards the Bloodlines locker room, getting ready to go inside, when all of a sudden, Kevin Owens shows up. Right? Big pop. People see Owens and Zayn on screen together. And Zayn told Owens, look, you got to leave because all the members of the Bloodline are inside. And he said, oh, really? Are they? He wanted to go inside. Sammy said, no, no, no. You got to get out of here. You got to leave. Okay, you got to turn and walk away. And Owens asked Sammy about, you know, what's going to happen when you say or do something that really pisses them all off? Said, how many times have I had to bail you out because you've said or done something that pissed people off? Owens said that if he were Sammy, he wouldn't wait for the Bloodline to turn on him. He would strike first. Now, as he's saying this, and as these two are talking, the camera pans back a little bit, and we see the Bloodline locker room door has been cracked open a little bit. And listening to their conversation on the other side of the door is Jey Uso. Now, they don't know this. And Sammy doesn't know that Jey is listening in. But Jey is hearing everything that's being said here. He overheard the entire conversation. Owens told Zayn that he would see him on Saturday, and then he walked off. So now Jey walks out of the locker room as if he didn't just hear everything they said. And he asked Sammy, he goes, where have you been? We could have used you earlier, right? That big brawl that broke out in the back. Where have you been? And Sammy said he just got to the building. He just arrived. He was coming to meet with them. And Jey asked them, have you spoken to anybody since you've gotten to the building? And Sammy said, no. I mean, I'm talking to you right now, if that counts, but no, I just got here. I haven't spoken to anybody. So he lied, and Jey Uso knew that he lied, because you just heard the entire conversation with Kevin Owens. And then Jey tried to play it off cool, like, it's cool, man, it's cool. Go ahead, go on inside. And Sammy went into the locker room, and of course, Jey was there with this pissed-off expression. Well, when does he not have a pissed-off expression on his face? So we have some intrigue here in this story. Now, ignoring the whole camera being their thing, which, I mean, in a segment like this, it is silly, right? But ignoring that for a second, I like what they did here, and it sets the stage as early as tomorrow night for something very, very big to go down with respect to Sami Zayn and the Bloodline, right? Now it builds intrigue because there's a million different things that they could do tomorrow night here in this War Games match, but this is, I think we're heading very quickly towards the beginning of the end of the honorary Uso, the honorary Us, which you had to know we were heading in that direction anyway. We're heading into Royal Rumble season, in Elimination Chamber, WrestleMania, so you know the end is near. It's only a matter of when. Something will go down in that War Games match tomorrow night that hastens, I think, the ending of Sami Zayn here in this group. And as far as what that may be, we'll talk about that later when I run down the predictions. Becky Lynch was in the back, and Kayla Braxton tried to get a word with her. Becky said that she had 4 months to sit at home to think about how to dismantle damage control. She says, everybody wants to go to war until the man comes around. And she walked off. Megan Morant tried to interview Raquel Rodriguez and Shotzi ahead of their tag team match tonight with Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler. All of a sudden, Ronda and Shayna, they jumped them from behind. They trapped Raquel's arm inside one of the giant equipment carts, the cases that are sitting around. They slammed the lid on her arm, slammed it shut. Rodriguez screamed in pain, fell to the floor. They came back from commercial break, and Michael Cole announced that Raquel was rushed to the hospital with a possible broken arm. Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler, they're coming out anyway, right? We have a tag team match scheduled. They come to the ring. Rousey says, we're here, and she just assumed there would be no match tonight after what just happened. Instead, Shotzi came out. All by herself, like a dumb baby face. And I know Michael Cole on commentary, yo, Shotzi, she doesn't want to say no to a fight. This was incredibly stupid of Shotzi to come out here 24 hours before the biggest match of her entire career, wrestling for the SmackDown Women's Championship against Ronda Rousey. Her partner has just been taken out of the equation, and she's coming down to the ring for a handicap match 24 hours before the pay-per-view. Stupid. She is a very stupid person. Rousey and Baszler, they targeted Shotzi's left arm. Raquel's music played. She came out selling the injured arm. Michael Cole said that she apparently opted against going to the hospital. Yes, Michael. It apparently does look that way. Unless she took a wrong turn and halfway down the aisle, she realized, wait a minute, this is not the ER. It does appear that way. So Rodriguez tagged into the match. She continued to sell the bad arm. Rousey wrenched on it. Baszler stopped Shotzi, who's trying to get into the ring to save her partner. Shayna pulled her out, made her watch. She was powerless. She couldn't do anything to stop Ronda from applying the arm bar, cranking on it. Raquel had no choice but to tap out. Backstage, after all this went down, Kayla Braxton caught up with Shotzi coming out of the trainer's room. And Shotzi said that Raquel's arm was broken before she even got to the ring. And now her elbow is dislocated. So what do you think? What's the over-under on how long it takes before we see Raquel back on TV, right? Broken arm, dislocated elbow. I give it 3 weeks max before she's back on TV wrestling like nothing ever happened. So Shotzi said that she's always known that Rousey and Baszler were bullies and she was ready to face them alone. She said that it's not the first time that she's been bullied, but it is the first time that somebody has had her back. And she said that she would shock the world by beating Ronda Rousey senseless. You want to make a bet? Who wants to make a bet about that? Drew McIntyre and Sheamus out for the main event with the Brutes and Kevin Owens in their corner, their partners tomorrow night, taking on Jimmy and Jey Uso with Sami Zayn and Solo Sikoa in their corner to decide the man advantage in the very first ever men's War Games match on the WWE main roster. We are now T-minus 24 hours away from the War Game, the debut of War Games. At Survivor Series, something that I first called for, I think it was in 2009, And here we are in 2022. And up until the last week or so, the build for these War Games matches has been atrocious. It really has not been very good at all. And part of the blame, I think, has to go to Crown Jewel. Because they had this Crown Jewel show, Roman Reigns against Logan Paul and Brock Lesnar against Bobby Lashley, right? Their attention was on the Saudi Arabia show. And that also took away, I think, I don't want to lay it all at the feet of Crown Jewel. You know, a lot of it you lay at the feet of Triple H, right? He's now the creative visionary of this company. But I just don't see how you can look at what they've been doing outside of the Bloodline stuff, which is kind of... Now, the Bloodline stuff, it almost has nothing to do with War Games. I've thoroughly been enjoying the Bloodline stuff. I'm talking about the actual build to War Games. I liked what they did tonight. Boy, this build has been really, really lacking. I mean, we talk about Full Gear and the build to Full Gear lacking. I mean, look at the build to Survivor Series. It has not been very good. So we had 2 minutes left in this show until the 10 p.m. hour East Coast time. And the Usos sent McIntyre into the ring steps heading into the final commercial break. So it was pretty clear at that point that we were going to be going overtime on this show. They were not going to have a hard cut at 10 p.m. So after the break, McIntyre got the tag to Sheamus. He got Jey Uso on the apron for the 10 beats, which was the 17 beats tonight. Jimmy Uso came over to rescue his brother. McIntyre and Sheamus set them both up for the 10 beats, but the Usos were able to avoid that. Claymore kick to Jimmy Uso connects, but Jey Uso took McIntyre down with a super kick and then dove out onto Sheamus. Back inside, Sheamus came back with a knee strike that got him a very close near fall. Sheamus was looking to close things out with the brogue kick. He was setting up for the brogue. Sami Zayn caused a distraction on the apron. And Sheamus knocked down Sami. That was enough, though, for Jey to take down Sheamus. Jey ascended to the top rope. But he took too long, and Sheamus cut him off. It looked like Sheamus was setting up for a superplex. All of a sudden, Solo Sikoa distracts the referee on the opposite side of the ring. That allows Sami Zayn to reach up and shove Sheamus backwards, and he goes tumbling all the way down to the mat. So give the assist to Sami Zayn, the assist to Jey Uso. That allowed Jey to hit a splash, covered, only got a two count out of it. So now everybody on the outside starts to brawl, right? Big fight breaks out until Drew McIntyre did a dive out over the tuck, because everybody dives. Everybody dives. Drew McIntyre does a dive out over the top rope, wipes everybody out except Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn goes over to the timekeeper's area. He grabs one of the SmackDown Tag Team title belts. And he's trying to get Jay's attention on the inside. He's going to slip him the title, but Kevin Owens walks in his line of sight, steps right in his path, and blocks him from doing so. Now we have a showdown outside the ring between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and Sami is telling him to get out of the way. Owens says no. Owens reaches and grabs the SmackDown belt out of Sami's hand, and they're arguing back and forth. So Sami grabs the belt back, and he goes to try to hand it to Jey Uso in the ring. Owens rolls Zayn into the ring. This causes the referee to eject Sami Zayn from the match, from ringside. Even though, I mean, he brought the belt into the ring, but he didn't actually use it. But the referee goes to eject him. So while that's going on, and Sami is protesting the referee's decision, Kevin Owens gets into the ring, and he delivers a stunner to Jey Uso, which the referee did not see. That leads to the brogue kick from Sheamus, who pins Jey Uso to win the match for his team and to give the babyfaces the man advantage in the War Games match tomorrow night. And we had a final shot of the Bloodline standing in the aisle with Jey Uso just staring a hole through Sami Zayn after what just happened. I thought this was a great finish to what overall was a pretty decent show. It was not a great show, but I enjoyed it. I thought that the ending was very good. They tried with the Shotzi stuff. Nobody believes that Ronda Rousey is going to lose to Shotzi Blackheart tomorrow night. Deep down inside, even Shotzi Blackheart does not believe that. So they did what they could to try to convince you that she had a chance. She has no chance. But adding Becky Lynch gives the women's War Games match a nice boost as far as star power. And even without Roman Reigns tonight, you know, I thought they did a good job of building intrigue with the men's War Games match. So that was the go-home edition of SmackDown. Let me show you my poll here. It's a nice poll. What did you think of the final SmackDown before Survivor Series? 67% of you have given this show a thumbs up. 20% of you say thumbs in the middle, and about 12% of you have given this show tonight a thumbs down. There's Cocaine Tony. Tony Contana. Aussie of Steel. With the Australian $10 super... What is that? $6? What's the conversion on that? $6 or $7 American? Thank you, Aussie of Steel. Appreciate that. So let's talk about this show, right? Now it's time to get into predictions, because tomorrow is Survivor Series. I don't know offhand what number this Survivor Series is. Survivor Series debuted in 1987. So I'm not a math whiz, but there's been a lot of Survivor Series shows, and this is the first one ever to have War Games as a feature and not a single Survivor Series elimination match. And as much as I have argued for that, for there to be the addition of War Games over these years, I am disappointed that they did not have at least one classic Survivor Series elimination match on this show. I thought they would have at least one. I thought it would be a match involving the Judgment Day. You know, once they added Rhea to the Women's War Games match, it was pretty clear that wasn't going to happen. But they could have done, you know, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, Dominic Mysterio, and Rhea Ripley 4-on-4 against, you know, the OC and Mia Yim. I mean, you could have had a traditional Survivor Series elimination match. And so that's one of the disappointing things about this show, that we didn't get at least one of those. But I do think they probably open the show tomorrow night with the Women's War Games match. And it will be Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, and Mia Yim taking on Bayley, Nikki Cross, Dakota Kai, Io Sky, and Rhea Ripley. The heels have the advantage. They have the numbers advantage because Rhea beat Asuka on Monday night. So again, Becky Lynch is back, which means no Sasha Banks in Boston, apparently. Although I would not completely discount the possibility that Sasha Banks might turn up in Boston tomorrow night. But there will be no Sasha Banks in this match, at least, unless she pops up after Ronda Rousey makes short work of Shotzi. Not only do I think there's a chance that Sasha Banks shows up after Ronda Rousey beat Shotzi, it could be that Sasha and Naomi both show up after that match to confront Ronda and Shayna Baszler. So just because Sasha Banks is not in the Women's War Games match does not mean that she will not make an appearance at the Survivor Series tomorrow night. And if she does, the place will go nuts because they're in Boston. But as far as who goes over in this match, I don't see them having both heel teams win in the War Games matches or both babyface teams. So really it comes down to in which match do the heels win and in which match do the babyfaces win. And I think that tomorrow night the heels are going to go over on the women's side. I think it'll be Team Rhea or Team Damage Control, whatever you want to call them. I think the heels go over in this match. I think that we begin to see the seeds planted for what will be the eventual championship match, possibly at the Royal Rumble, between Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. As much as I would love to see that be the WrestleMania match, as more time goes on here, we don't see Beth Phoenix. It does make me think that they're going to try to hold off until WrestleMania, and WrestleMania is still a few months away, but I could definitely see them wanting to wait until WrestleMania and make a really big deal out of the Glamazon, Beth Phoenix coming back for another singles match against Rhea Ripley and getting her revenge on Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. If they do that, then Rhea would have to get the championship match at the Royal Rumble. And maybe that's where Beth comes back and costs her the championship, and then Bianca goes on to defend against Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. I would rather the WrestleMania match be Bianca and Rhea, but I'm thinking that that match is going to happen earlier than that, and that will pave the way for Bianca and Charlotte at WrestleMania. What happens with Becky? I still think the most likely scenario is Becky ends up on SmackDown, or there's, you know, a Raw versus SmackDown thing going on, and we have babyface Becky Lynch against heel Ronda Rousey. Whether it's for a championship or not, it almost doesn't even matter. So we're going to see what directions we get coming out of this match as far as Bianca, Becky, and Rhea. Bayley, I'm not sure what you do with Bayley. Bayley already had her shot at Bianca. She lost. This run, frankly, has been very underwhelming, the damage control stuff. I'm not sure where they go from here, but I think the heels are going to go over. I think they're going to pick up the win. We have the SmackDown Women's Championship on the line. We have Ronda Rousey defending her title against Shotzi. As I said, there is zero chance that Ronda Rousey drops her title tomorrow night. And I do think that you should keep an eye out for what happens when the match is over. I think when that match ends, we may be seeing a familiar face make their way back to WWE to tease out the next direction for Ronda Rousey heading into the Royal Rumble. But not a doubt in my mind that Ronda is going over here. Nothing they did tonight changes my mind. We had a match that was added on Monday night, and this should be a very good one, too. Triple threat match for the United States Championship. Seth Rollins defending his title against both Bobby Lashley and the new and improved Austin Theory, free of his Money in the Bank albatross. I don't think that Seth Rollins has had nearly enough time with the U.S. title. I don't think he's going to drop the title this quickly. I was toying with the idea that, you know, does Theory win? Does, you know, do you keep it on Rollins? I don't see Bobby Lashley winning the belt back. I'm struggling between Rollins and Theory. I think Rollins is going to pull it out. I think Theory will get there. He'll get that belt back. I don't think it happens tomorrow night. And in a triple threat scenario, you know, it could be a case where you can do something to keep Theory looking very strong, and then, you know, Rollins can steal a pin from Lashley or something. But I just feel like Seth Rollins' run with the U.S. title is not over yet. So I have him retaining his championship. We have AJ Styles going one-on-one against Finn Balor of Judgment Day. Again, not an easy match to predict because it really could go either way. I saw an amazing stat, and I didn't have time to verify it, but I only saw it somewhere earlier today, that AJ Styles has not won a singles match on a WWE pay-per-view in something like 3 years, like 2 or 3 years. And that it sounds almost inconceivable to me, except when you stop and think about what they've been doing with AJ Styles really ever since the Boneyard match at WrestleMania a couple of years ago. He's really been on the back burner. You know, he had about a year with Omos. They were the tag team champions. WWE has not really done much of anything with AJ Styles over the last couple of years. And when I heard that, I was floored by that he has not won a match, or at least a singles match on pay-per-view, in something like 2 or 3 years. So you could say that AJ is overdue for a win. But I also am starting to really dig the Judgment Day stuff. And the addition of Dominic has a lot to do with that. You know, it's very similar to the whole schism thing in NXT. I still don't really much care for the whole Joe Gacy schism act. To me, it's been mostly just a total bore. Then they added The Rock's daughter. She just debuted on NXT recently, Ava Raine. She's now part of Schism. They had another segment on Tuesday night. Adding her to the group has actually helped breathe some life into that group. And I don't want to say that I've turned a corner yet on Schism. I wouldn't go that far, but it's at least more intriguing to me now than it was before. Dominic being added to the Judgment Day has sort of had the same effect, in that I think that it's just been the perfect addition to the group as far as doing wonders for him and his character development, but it's also helped make the group more entertaining and more interesting to me. I would hate to see Balor go in there and lose. I think that the Judgment Day could really use the win here. But then again, you could say the same thing about AJ. If he's truly gone that long without a win, to me, you go either way, it doesn't really matter. I would give it to Finn Balor. I think Balor's going to pull out the win. I would give it to the Judgment Day. But honestly, you can't really go wrong with either one of these guys. I think they're going to go out there and have a great fucking match. I still remember the match they had years ago, probably about 5 years ago now, when Bray Wyatt got the mumps. And we didn't get the Bray Wyatt match where he was going to be dressed up as Sister Abigail against the Demon on whatever that pay-per-view was. It was in October, I think. And so we ended up with an impromptu match with AJ Styles and Finn Balor that was great. So we know what these two guys can do in the ring together. There's a history there. I'm looking forward to this match, regardless of who wins.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms
and conditions apply. See website for details. And then we have the men's War Games match. We have the babyface team of Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Ridge Holland, Butch, and Kevin Owens taking on the Bloodline, Roman Reigns, the Usos, Solo Sikoa, and the honorary Us himself, Sami Zayn. I told you I think the heels are winning in the women's War Games match, which means that I think the babyfaces, who have the advantage, are going to win here in this match, and here's why. The Bloodline has been unstoppable. People are, in some cases, sick to death of the Bloodline. They're comparing it to the Triple H reign of terror from 2002 into 2003. You know, when are they going to finally lose? I can't wait until they lose and get the belts off these guys. All they do is beat all the baby faces. There's nobody left. You can't beat Roman Reigns until you get to WrestleMania. That would be just stupid. To come this close and then beat him or have him pinned before WrestleMania, it'd be like spiking the fucking ball on the 1 yard line, right? That would be idiotic. So you don't do that. You've come this far. Same thing with the Usos and their tag team title run. But the Bloodline has been invincible. And at some point, you have to show weakness. You have to show that they're vulnerable in some way. Sami Zayn, I think, is the vessel by which you show that the Bloodline is actually vulnerable. War Games is a perfect opportunity for the Bloodline. You can advance the story, and you can have the Bloodline lose safely without losing their championships and without having any of the champions even lose. We saw Jey Uso get pinned tonight. Jey Uso may well end up taking the losing fall again tomorrow night. But it's an opportunity for you to have the Bloodline take a loss and show weakness, and at the same time, create at least one, if not a couple of different challengers who can go on to wrestle Roman Reigns between now and WrestleMania. You've got the Royal Rumble. You've got the Elimination Chamber. Roman Reigns is going to need opponents to defend his title against between now and Los Angeles in April. You've got two guys on the opposite side of that ring who can easily challenge Roman Reigns for that championship. One of them is Sheamus. And the other one is Kevin Owens. It's been a while since we've seen Kevin Owens in the ring challenging Roman Reigns for the championship. I think long enough that you could easily do another Roman Reigns-Kevin Owens match for the championship. So by virtue of the babyfaces going over here, you've now created potentially two new challengers for Roman to bridge the gap between now and WrestleMania. And we saw what happened on the show tonight, the backstage segment. Jey Uso now, he doesn't trust Sammy at all. Like, the trust level there is at an all-time low after what happened tonight, between the backstage conversation he overheard, between Sammy basically costing him the match in the main event. He doesn't trust this guy at all. So what I think may go down tomorrow night, Sammy, I could envision a scenario where Sami Zayn accidentally strikes Jey Uso. Doesn't mean to, but he accidentally strikes him. Ends up costing the Bloodline the match. And the question is, after what we saw tonight, was it intentional? Did you do that on purpose, or was it an accident? And it's the first real, sort of nail in the coffin of Sami Zayn. I don't think they all gang up on him tomorrow night. I don't think he gets kicked out of the Bloodline tomorrow night. I would actually hate for that to happen. I'm enjoying this too much. I think you could still milk this a little bit more until you get to that point. But when War Games was first announced, I thought that might be the way that they go. I thought that, you know, they might kill this poor fucker inside the cage. Now that we're here, I don't think they pull the trigger on it tomorrow night. I just think it would be premature to do that yet. But I do think that, you know, he may end up costing his own team the match. Or maybe it's a situation where they want him to do something dastardly to Kevin Owens. They've got Owens down. They want him to finish him off. They want him to prove his loyalty to the bloodline. And Sammy can't bring himself to do it. This is his best friend. He can't do it. So I think one of those situations is going to play itself out tomorrow night. But I think that you go with the babyfaces winning. They've had their balls cut off by the bloodline so many times. Nobody has to lose their championship here. The babyfaces go over, and you've created some strong new challengers for Roman Reigns while advancing the Sami Zayn story. It's perfect. So I'm going with the babyfaces. And that is the Survivor Series card. Now, I want to mention this real quick because Rampage aired earlier tonight, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock start for Rampage, the earliest that I think the show has ever aired. 1 o'clock on the West Coast. Some people were having lunch while they were watching Rampage. I did watch the show. I'm just going to go through Rampage very quickly here. We had FTR retaining their Ring of Honor tag team titles over Top Flight. I thought it was a good match. Dante Martin is okay. There was some concern about him the other night. We talked about that on the stream. I was getting live messages as I was streaming about a possible injury to Dante Martin after I had just got done talking about how they got Darius back. Hopefully Top Flight now heading into the new year can stay healthy, and it looked like this guy may have been hurt. But Anthony Bowens tweeted yesterday that Dante is fine. Chris Jericho and Claudio Castagnoli will have a Ring of Honor World Championship match at Final Battle next month, but there is a stipulation that has been attached to this match because Jericho at first was not going to give him a title match. And we had Matt Menard out there because the entire JAS was in the ring. Claudio was on stage. And Matt Menard said that, you know, since you used to be a pretty good sports entertainer, you could be an asset to us. So they're going to have a match. The Ring of Honor world title is going to be on the line. And if Claudio fails to win, if Claudio does not win the Ring of Honor World Championship, he will be forced to join the Jericho Appreciation Society. And that sounds terrible. As if the Jericho Appreciation Society doesn't have enough members already. We've got Jericho, we've got Daniel Garcia, we've got Sammy Guevara, we've got Jake Hager, we've got Matt Menard, we've got Angelo Parker, we've got Anna Jay, we've got Ty Mello. I think we might have about 6 people in the chat who were members of the Jericho Appreciation Society and don't even know it. I don't want to see Claudio now as part of the group, which tells me that Claudio may be getting the belt back. I thought they were going to build something with Jericho and Daniel Garcia. That whole thing has been dropped. If that's the case, he may as well put the belt back on Claudio, because I sure as shit don't want to see him join this group. There was a pretty good backstage interview, actually. Renee sat down with Toni Storm, 2 black eyes, after her match with Jamie Hayter at Full Gear. So she looked like she was in a fight. She said deep down she's actually proud of Jamie Hayter, but she said that she didn't beat her one-on-one. She still needed Britt and Rebel to help her out. And she welcomes the opportunity to step back into the ring with her in a fair fight one day. She said that she broke her face losing the women's title, and she'll break it again to get the belt back. So I thought that was good stuff from Toni Storm. Darby Allin got a win over Anthony Henry. I mean, not much to say about that. There was an Athena promo in the back. Athena now is full on heel, right? She has been, she has undergone a character transformation. She punched out Aubrey Edwards in her match last week. And so now she has issued a challenge to Mercedes Martinez for the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship. So that looks to be the women's title match at Final Battle, which actually should be very good. And Preston Vance, I know you're all going to be very devastated by this, so I should just warn you here before I tell you what happened. I don't want to upset you. I don't want to disappoint you, but all good things must come to an end. Preston Vance, number 10, is no longer part of the Dark Order. He has turned against his Dark Order brethren. I know you're all very upset about this. I know. So he ended up aligning with Roosh. There was a tag team match, and he clotheslined John Silver. Roosh ended up winning the match. I don't know if Preston Vance and Roosh are going to be a team. I mean, that's such a random fucking pairing to even think of. I don't know if they're going to be a team or not. But I guess he got tired of donning the mask and being called a number. He wants to carve out his own identity. Now, they had negative one, Brody Lee Jr., who has been very close with Preston Vance ever since his father passed away. And he was out there, and he was checking on the other Dark Order members, and they had this great shot at the end of the show where Negative One is on stage. And Preston Vance is walking up the ramp towards him. He takes off his mask, and he throws it down on the floor right in front of the kid. And Negative One kneels down to grab the mask, and he's selling it. He's a better seller than some actual wrestlers. He's selling this as all the heels are standing behind him, posing to close out the show. So the Dark Order is dead. The Dark Order has lost so many members. Preston Vance is just the latest one. Alan Angel, Stu Grayson. There's been a bunch of members that they've lost, right? Anna Jay. So there's only a few, maybe three members left, I think, at this point of the Dark Order. So the Dark Order is dead. May it rest in peace. The Dark Order has been dead for a while. Preston Vance now will press his luck outside the Dark Order as himself. So that was your Rampage review. The Dark Order, I think, has three members left. I mean, maybe four. What do we have? John Silver, Alex Reynolds, Evil Uno. Colt Cabana technically is not part of them anymore, right? So who's left? Who else is there? Negative One. Negative One would be number four, I guess. I don't know, and I can't bring myself to care. Can't do it. Haven't cared about the Dark Order for a while. But I'll tell you what I do care about. Care about your Super Chats. Seeing what you guys think of the Survivor Series card tomorrow. If you have any predictions, send them on in. I do read the Super Chats out loud here. We'll go through all of these. Mr. Ozone in the chat wants to know, did Stu Grayson not come back? Grayson came back for one appearance. Grayson is not back in AEW full-time. He came back for one appearance. That's what that was. We got Joseph Brooks with the $4.99 Super Chat. With Survivor Series being held tomorrow, that makes me want to ask you, what is the greatest Survivor Series pay-per-view of all time? The greatest Survivor Series pay-per-view of all time? I mean, 2002 is a pretty damn good one. 2002 is a tough one to beat. That's the one we just did the watch-along for the first Elimination Chamber. That was in Madison Square Garden. So 2002 is up there. I have a lot of fond feelings for some of the earlier Survivor Series shows. But I can't say that like any of those really early ones really stand out as the best, right? 88, 90. 90, you know what? 90 is a favorite of mine. 90 also has the giant egg with the gobbledygooker popping out of it. But 90 is the one that had the ultimate match of survival where the winners all went to a kind of a grand finale match of survival at the end of the show. The baby faces on one side, the heels on another. And they never did that again. It's like 95, they did the wild card match. I like the wild card match concept. The wild card match was you have a mix of heels and baby faces forced to team together. And I can't believe that. It was in 1995. It's going to be 30 years. They only did it once. I liked the concept. I thought they could have brought it back. So 90 is a favorite of mine. 2002, though, might get my vote. 2002 was a very strong Survivor Series. Joseph also says, what is the best Survivor Series of the past 5 years? Best Survivor Series of the past 5 years. Interesting. I would probably go 2018. I think I would probably go with the 2018 Survivor Series. That was the one that had Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan. An excellent match with Ronda Rousey and Charlotte Flair. The best match those two have had. I think there was a big cruiserweight title match on that show. And I remember the men's Survivor Series match being pretty good that year. So 2018 would get my vote. Groovy Goose chiming in. I'm going to try to make noodle pudding later. Oh, I posted my annual picture of the noodle pudding on Twitter. It was so delicious. Oh, I had leftovers today. I have one piece left for tomorrow. I'm going to savor it. I'm going to savor it on Survivor Series Saturday. It's going to be so good. I can't wait. If you're wondering exactly what noodle pudding is, if you Google the word kugel, or kugel, however you pronounce it, K-U-G-E-L, it'll give you a sense of what it is. So it's so good. Let me know how it turns out. Tyler with the $4.99 super chat. I feel like Sasha and Naomi return as surprises tomorrow. Otherwise, Boston will riot if they don't get Sasha in her hometown. What do you think? I guarantee you that Boston will not riot if Sasha Banks does not show up. But I do think that there's a chance she comes out after the Ronda Rousey match to confront her. Callum Davis with the $5.89. Can you please do your Michael Cole WWE impression, please? I remember you did it on an old episode of the podcast, and it made me die. Well, that's a lie because you're sending in a super chat, so you sound very much alive to me right now. But you want me to talk about Michael Cole? Talking about the WWE? We're heading into WWE Survivor Series, and the WWE Championship is not on the line, but you never know when the Survivor Series may come to your town. WWE coming to your town. Shinakuma says, your content is friggin' awesome. I know. Thank you, Shin. It's good to hear somebody else say it. I don't say it. I let other people say it for me. Richie with the $5 super chat. Did you see Dominika and Rhea attack Rey at their house on Thanksgiving? I don't know who Dominika is. Yes, I did. I saw Dominik and Rhea. We talked about that earlier. I loved it. Loved it. I want them to do more segments like that. I want WWE to do more segments like that. Rooster Loving Man with a $4.99. Michael Cole said on commentary that Becky and Bayley are longtime rivals. I could be wrong, but I don't think they've ever had a one-on-one program. No, I don't think they have either. I mean, maybe a match. I can't remember, but they've not worked a program. We've seen Becky and Sasha. We've seen Becky and Charlotte. Charlotte and Sasha. We've seen Bayley and Sasha. Becky and Bayley, I don't recall there being an actual program between the two. Black Wolf Inc., $5 super chat. Bayley will pin Bianca to set up one last match between them. Kevin will pin either Jay or Sammy once the other is betrayed and then removed by Roman. Josiah Ball, what's up, Solomonster? Just showing some love. Everyone hit that like button. Yes, yes, hit that like button indeed. Thank you, Josiah. Javier Martinez, I'm 100% expecting a return after Ronda and Shotzi. I think you and I are thinking on the same wavelength. Chauncey Curry, Braun taking that L to Ricochet was a legit surprise, and quite frankly, it was deserved. I think that what they did at the end of that match was meant to just make him look good and rehab his image after he came out looking like a real clown after that whole tweet. And no, I don't think the tweet was part of a long-term plan that was going to build something in the World Cup. Although I do think that him losing to Ricochet was definitely intentional. But at the end of the day, he's going to be the one challenging Gunther for the Intercontinental title. And whoever wins this tournament, it doesn't even matter. So, I mean, it's not like he's being punished or anything like that, but humbled. Humbled would be a better word. Brandon Turner, can't stay because of work, but have a good stream. Brandon, thank you for the $2. Rodimus Prime with the $5 super chat. Don't know if you or anybody else has noticed Alexa's demeanor lately, but do you think it's possible that she turns heel tomorrow? I have noticed her demeanor. I noticed it was weird. She said something on Monday night where she said that she was going to put someone in the trash, but just like the way that she said it was kind of like, huh, that was the way she said it kind of caught my attention. Does Alexa pull a Dakota Kai from the NXT War Games match when she turned on Tegan Nox? I don't think that Alexa turns on her partners, though. I just think if anything were to happen, it would almost be like the lights flicker and maybe she ends up in like a trance. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen in War Games, but something is definitely going on with Alexa Bliss. Slim Yoshi. $5 super chat. Hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Happy Becky Lynch is back. That us in the U.S. missed due to a 10-minute football delay. Thank you, Fox.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Plus Ultra Adrian with a $9.99. I hope you and your family had an awesome Thanksgiving. I'm willing to bet that you had all the noodle pudding and pecan pie that you can eat. And I hope that you have leftovers for War Games tomorrow. Yes, I had some very good I will tell you, I'm very proud because I brought two things. I always want to bring something. You go to somebody's house, right? You got to bring something. So I brought a pecan pie. I didn't bake it myself, but I brought a very good pecan pie. And I bought a little thing of coconut macaroons, which I love those as well. And I will tell you that when they put dessert out on the table, there were about 15 of us there, right? My cousins and then some friends of my cousins. So good number of people. And they put out the pecan pie. They put out apple pie. They put out pumpkin pie. There was some marble cake. There was fruit, like a whole tower of fruit, fresh fruit. I will tell you, do you know the one pie that was completely devoured when the night was over? My pie. The pecan pie was the one that went first. You still had half the apple pie. You had almost all that pumpkin shit still sitting there. The tower of fruit was basically untouched, except for a few grapes. But the pecan pie was gone. I know that because I went back for seconds and it was gone and I was pissed. But I said, see, Salamaster brings the good shit. I don't bring that inferior crap. I bring only the best. Paul Hamilton, again, thank you for that $100 super chat bomb from earlier. And I want to wish a very happy belated 100th birthday to your mom. That was a very nice thing to do to mention her here on the stream, and I think it's very cool that she was a fan of War Games back in the WCW days. So I hope you had a great Thanksgiving, brother. Oofman Entertainment, his name is Bray Wyatt, but who are you? Are you really making me do this? Are you really making me school people? His name is Bray Wyatt, but who are you?
I'm the Salamonster, damn it.
That's who I am. You know this already. Why do you ask the question if you already know the answer? Devin from NJ2000, was there a singular moment of year that made people think Vince was out of touch and needed to go? For example, Super Cena in 2005. No, there was no singular moment. You know, even when Vince McMahon, even back in the day when Vince still had his marbles, you know, he would sometimes do shit that would make you just wonder if he was all there. It was not a singular thing. It was not like a eureka moment like this was the day or this was the event that had happened. It was a gradual thing over time. It was not any one thing. Rizzo with the $10 super chat. Dear Lord, I was watching the Wings game and I muted the stream after the game. I unmute the stream and I hear that voicemail and now I need a change of pants. It is pretty creepy. Hey, Hugh, thank you for the $5. Looking forward to the men's War Games match. Does the bloodline turn on Sammy, or do you think they hold it off? I think they hold it off. I know War Games, it feels like it would be the perfect spot for it. This big beat down in the cage. It would be better if they were to bloody... I mean, you're going to go violent with it. Just go violent, bloody the guy up. I don't think it happens, though. I think it's too soon. I don't think it happens tomorrow night. Rizzo says, Solomonster, just say Rizzo needs to get some air because I was one of those commenters. I don't remember what that was about. What did I say? What did I say? What was that in reference to? Remind me of what that was in reference to. I've already forgotten what that was in reference to. King Bling Blah, pod segment idea. Call old wrestling hotline numbers. The only old wrestling hotline number I remember is, I mean, it's still burned in my brain, is the WCW one, right? 1-900-909-9900. I'm not calling any 900 numbers. I'll let you guys do that. You guys do that and let me know what happens when you call 1-900-909-9900. But, always remember, kids, get your parents' permission before calling. Very important. Let me tell you something. If you call 1-900-909-9900 and you get Mean Gene Okerlund on the line, I'll be very impressed. Boots. Look at Boots. Oh, is in reference to Rhea putting her foot on Ray's neck. Well, it's funny that you say that, and then our next super chat here is from Boots. No Black Friday sale on super chats. Here's a tenner for the holiday liquor fund. Ah, Boots. Boots is in the holiday spirit. Thank you, brother. Aussie of Steel. Here's a fun game. Binge some recent episodes of Raw and SmackDown and take a shot every time there is interference in the finish or a big dive on somebody's spot. I will pay for the funeral. Yeah, you'll be paying for the funeral or the liver transplant if that happens. Vermakian Productions, thank you for the $5. In 2016, after the draft, I stopped watching Raw and SmackDown only, and that was a good decision. I would rather cut my nuts off than watch Raw. Well, I wouldn't go that far. MLK010. If you could book a Monday Night Wars War Games match, Team WWF against Team WCW, who would you have representing the teams? Well, 5-on-5, you have a Team WWF, Monday Night War style. You see, it all depends. Are we talking Monday Night War before Brett left, or are we talking like Attitude Era? Attitude Era, you gotta have Austin, you gotta have Rock, you gotta have Undertaker, you've got to have, well, I guess Mankind, right? Undertaker, Rock, Austin, Mankind, Kane. Undertaker, Kane, Mankind, Rock, and Triple H, and Rock and Austin. Triple H would be out. On the WCW side, you'd have to have Hollywood Hogan, Goldberg, Sting. So that's 3. DDP would be 4. And then you need a 5th. Hogan, Sting, Goldberg, DDP, and Ric Flair. Gotta go old school. Ric Flair has been in a number of War Games matches, and Flair was still one of the top stars in WCW. So there you go. Hogan, Flair, Sting, Goldberg, DDP. I'd actually put DDP in there over Savage. And I think that would be your 5-on-5 War Games match. Now, if it was before Brett left, notice I didn't include Brett in there on Team WCW because, to me, Brett never represented WCW. He just felt like a fish out of water there. But if we're talking 96 or early 97, well, that's different, right? Because now you have Shawn Michaels around, you have Bret Hart still there. So you would have Bret, you would have Shawn, you would have Undertaker. You would probably have Sid on that team if it was 96-ish. Is that five? I don't know if that's five or four. So that's why I asked the question. It really does make a difference if you're looking at the Monday Night War period from those first 2 years or the 2 years that came after, because Shawn was out, Bret was gone from WWE. Like, things changed a lot in just those couple of years. Loss the Sauce Boss with the $4.99 Super Chat. I fell to my knees in Walmart when Preston Vance betrayed Dark Order. I will never recover emotionally. I did put the warning out there before I told you what happened, because I knew how it would impact certain people, and, you know, we can all mourn together. We'll get through this. Oh, look at this. It's Mr. Backshots with the $2. When do you think Braun and Melo or Trick get called up? I don't know, but I think it would be a sin if they get called up before we get Braun against Carmelo Hayes. That's honestly, after Braun is done with Apollo Crews, that's the match I would do. I think we should get that match at least once before either guy gets called up. Lone B. $4.99 Super Chat. I attended SmackDown and the arena was packed and alive for the most part. Hope it came off well on TV. The dark match was Strowman and Ricochet against Imperium. Yeah, it came through well. Came through well. I thought this was a good crowd for a good SmackDown tonight. Mostly good SmackDown. Tay-Tay, the Savior, are we going to hear It's Boss Time? Oh, you bet. Oh, you bet. The first time we see Sasha Banks back on TV, Michael Cole, it's almost like a wind-up doll. You've been holding the winder and not letting go. And it's just been cranking and cranking and cranking, and then finally you let it go. He's going to lose his mind. He's going to be going nuts. Oh, well, believe me, we're gonna get plenty of boss time from Michael Cole if she shows up, and especially if she's on SmackDown. Cameron Spencer with the $4.99. Was Aleister Black's pick a fight with me gimmick actually bad, or was it poorly executed? I can see American Badass Undertaker thriving with that gimmick. It was poorly executed. He sat in a dark room for weeks. Like, yeah, it could have been better, it could have worked, but in execution, it was just silly. After a while, it was like, give this guy someone to fight. All he did was talk about how he wanted to fight someone, and then weeks and weeks and weeks went by, and nobody answered the door. Slim Yoshi with the $10 Super Chat. You know, I hope Owens does challenge Roman at the Rumble, not only for story reasons, but also that would mean they would have been... they would have themselves a Royal Rumble trilogy. That's right. They wrestled in 2017. That was the match, I think, that had Jericho above the ring in a shark cage, right? That was the last time they were at the Alamo Dome. They're actually back at the Alamo Dome. So not only would they be back at the Rumble again, it's the same building that they had their first match at the Royal Rumble. And then they also wrestled in 2021. GCC305 showing up here on Black Friday with the $10 Super Chat, which now is officially Cyber Saturday, I guess. Here at work, so thanks for helping me pass the overnight work shift. Also, my favorite Survivor Series is from 2007 and 2010. Then again, I was at those shows from Miami. Have a good night. I don't think I've been to a Survivor Series. I think I've been to everything except a Survivor Series. I've been to the Royal Rumble twice. I've been to like eight WrestleManias. I've been to SummerSlam in Brooklyn. I don't think I've been to a Survivor Series. Wait, was I a 2011? Maybe I was a 2011. What am I talking about? I was in Survivor Series 2011. Never mind. That was the night The Rock came back. He teamed with John Cena against The Miz and R-Truth. How could I forget that? So yeah, I've been to all the big shows. Johnny A with the $5 super chat. As always, you are the GOAT. We saw it last year with KO. Could we see a Bad News Brown walkout? Maybe Sammy getting decked by Jay. It's kind of hard to walk out of a War Games match. I guess there's no roof on top, but no, I don't think we're going to get a walkout at War Games. We've got Jobbed Out. Thank you for the super chat. If we don't ask the question, CM Punk changes the culture. Thomas with the $5. I beg to differ. Apple pie is the best with whipped cream. Anything else is just undignified. No, I don't think so. Sticketer, yeah, I've been to a bunch of takeovers. We're talking like the big four, though. The big four WWE shows, not NXT. Lost the Sauce Boss with the $9.99. Was talking with one of my buddies who is related to Mr. Perfect, and it made me wonder who your top three Minnesota wrestlers are. Mine would be Mr. Perfect, Rick Rude, Hawk, no Brock, because he is from South Dakota. First two I thought of were Mr. Perfect and Rick Rude. Specifically a Minnesota wrestler. I mean, I think of Shelton Benjamin. I'm not sure who my third guy would be. There's been so many wrestlers out of Minnesota. You know what? You know who I think is out of Minnesota? And somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. Look it up on Wikipedia. Where is he from? Barry Darso. Demolition Smash. If he's from there, I might actually have him as my number three, because Demolition's my favorite team. Bobby's World with the $5 super chat. I guess you were right when, after Triple H took over, I said that I would miss your Raw rants, and you basically said not so fast. I don't know what's happened to that show. Oh my goodness, look who it is. Back from his extended vacation. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman with the $5 super chat. I just want to say congrats to Solo on all of the success. You came a long way, Solo, and I can't wait for what's next. Sorry, I was talking about Solo Sikoa. And after I just gave you this big introduction, I built you up, I put you over, and that's what you say to me? I'll remember that. I'm like Bret Hart to your Shawn Michaels. I walked up to you and I shook your hand and I said, I just want you to know, despite our differences, that I'm willing to do business and put you over. And then you just turned around to me and said, well, that's nice, but I just want you to know I'm not willing to do the same. I'll remember that. We got Fawzen Rizky Ramsey with the $3 super chat. Buy, rent, or sell 2000s Joe Buck, 2010s Michael Cole, MLB postseason Bob Costas. Nothing is worse than MLB postseason Bob Costas, so that gets a hard sell from me. I'm going to buy on Joe Buck. I'm going to buy on 2000s Joe Buck, and I'm gonna rent on 2010s Michael Cole. Mario DeRose, what was up with Mae Young in 2000 going topless? You know what? I take back what I said earlier about the Vince McMahon question. That might have been the moment right there where I realized that things were starting to go downhill. Now, it was 2000. Things were still good. Things were still fun, but it was a slow decline. Yeah, no, I mean, The story that I had always heard is that Vince saw the movie There's Something About Mary. And so the stunt with the prosthetic, because it wasn't really, you know, May's tits that we saw, but the whole thing with the prosthetic and everything, I guess it was something he saw or an idea that he got from maybe that movie. I don't know. I don't know. Well, I try to block that out of my mind as much as I possibly can because it was traumatizing. It was a traumatizing event that night. Dr. Dakota Scorpio. I honestly thought that therapist on the phone was talking about most wrestling fans in the IWC. I mean, most fans are disturbed, especially on Twitter. It could very well be. He could easily have been talking about a lot of people, some people I know, in fact, on Twitter. It's a very good point. Boots, real Sting walked out of War Games. That was back in 96. I guess he did. But the door had been open, right? What were the circumstances around that? Or maybe he just asked for the door to be open and they opened it? I mean, yeah, I guess it's possible. I don't know. I still think it's silly, though. You have a big double ring, double cage. Like, once you're in, you should not be allowed out. I mean, yeah, they did let Sting leave, but once you're in, you should not be getting out of there. Ted Evans with the $5. Deadly Game 98 was my favorite Survivor Series. The tournament with The Rock turning was great. Peak Attitude Era. Del Fuego with the $2. Technically, Ric Flair is from Minnesota. Don't you know? You know, that is a good point. Keyshawn Johnson with the $9.99 Super Chat. Who are the top five wrestlers who should have won the world title? And do you think that the curtain call, if it never happened, do you think The Rock would not have rose faster than Triple H? Love you, brother. Well, if Triple H would have... Well, then Triple H would have won King of the Ring in 96. Rock didn't even debut until November of that year. So would that have affected how quickly The Rock rose? I don't think so. I don't think it would have had much of an impact on The Rock at all, honestly. So I think The Rock would have advanced pretty much the way that he did, as quickly as he did. I mean... Pat Patterson was telling anybody who would listen when they first signed him, like, this is the guy, you know, this kid, this is it, this is the one. So they already knew, like, the potential was there. They had all their eggs in that basket. Again, I don't see him being affected by that. As far as wrestlers, that I don't want to do top five. I mean, I hate doing these top lists. There's no number I'm going to put on it, but when I think of wrestlers who could have been the world champion, who never were... You know, a guy like Rowdy Roddy Piper, he didn't need the belt. You know, I mean, he didn't need it. But you could argue that Piper, you know, without Piper there to play foil for Hulk Hogan, that first WrestleMania just doesn't work, I don't think. He played a pretty pivotal role in wrestling history. Piper should be on that list of great ones to have never been world champion. Ted DiBiase should be on that list. He had the best gimmick in the world, you know, and he could work. So DiBiase, I think, would be at or near the top of that list as well. I know people would put Mr. Perfect on that list, and I actually think Kurt Hennig would have been a fine world champion for a period of time, but, you know, I don't necessarily put him at the top of that list. But if I made a top five, you know what? He probably would make the cut. You know, DiBiase, Perfect. Rude. You know, Rude was a world champion in WCW. I think Rick Rude could have been champion in WWF as well. You know, just that he came up at a time where you had Hogan and the Warrior. And those were the guys. So, you know, if they didn't have some top baby faces as strong as they were, then I think maybe a guy like Rude would have had a run for 6 months as champion, you know?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Scott Hall's another one who gets brought up.
how come a guy like Scott Hall, big guy, legit like 6'4", 6'5", at least, he's a deceptively tall guy. Size-wise, he had the stuff in the ring. His work was fine. How come a guy like that was never world champion? I don't know. It just wasn't his time. Vince wanted Diesel. He wanted Diesel to be the next guy. He wanted Diesel to be the next Hogan. And he was there at a time when you had Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels and people who were just in ring better than he was. So it just didn't work out. Could Scott Hall have been a champion? Yeah, before his personal problems really just caused his career to spiral out of control. Could he have been a world champion? I think he could have, and he was definitely over. I mean, the fans like Razor Ramon. I just think, you know, just wasn't the right time. This wasn't the right time. Food Hive has joined us, and Food Hive says he is late to the party. He is still exhausted from yesterday. I don't know how late you were up last night, but I don't envy probably the night that you had cooking all that food. Food Hive also says, by the way, the crab deviled eggs were a hit. Yeah, you were probably serving them to a bunch of people who had COVID and still haven't gotten their sense of taste back. So, of course, it was going to be a hit. Arizona Rich, Hit Row is becoming my guilty pleasure. I feel bad that they're not getting cheered. Would you turn them heel? You know, I don't think that's going to make a difference. I really don't. I think you turn them heel right now, who do they feud with? Who do you feud them with? If Legado del Fantasma are heels, you have the Brawling Brutes. I guess you could feud them with the Brawling Brutes, but they're not even really a trio anymore. It's just a tag team. So the Usos have a stranglehold on the tag team titles. So what are you really building them for? If you're going to turn them heel, I would wait until next year. I don't think now is the time to turn them heel. But you could turn them heel tomorrow if you want. It's not like it's going to make a difference. There's just something that's missing. They're just not that appealing. You know, there's nothing about them that draws you in. And they're certainly not being booked on television as an act that anybody should really care about. I don't see the appeal right now. The act just is not clicking. It's not working. Based Beerus, God of Seduction. Repackage AJ Styles with his mid-2000s haircut. That's not really a repackaging. That's just giving the guy a haircut. I think you have misunderstood what repackaging means. God of Seduction, though, thank you for the super chat. Mr. Notorious Chico, War Games in 1990. What is your five-man team, WWF and team WCW? Hi. War Games 1990. I'm sure on the NWA side, you would have Flair, and you would have... Was Funk still there at that point, or did he leave after 89? So I'd have Flair and Funk on the same team. Flair, Funk, Sting, maybe Arn Anderson. Stunning Steve. On the WWF side, you've got to, in 90, you've got to have Hogan, you've got to have Warrior, you've got to have Macho King. Andre was, I mean, forget that. Andre was just, he was so far gone at that point. It was just sad to watch. Piper, I'd put Piper in there. Yeah, I got Savage, Hogan, Warrior, Piper. Yeah, those types. Food Hive says, no cheese, brother, no cheese. I don't know where I am, brother. What is this, brother? This provolone, brother? I don't eat provolone. Swiss. Where am I, brother? King Bling Blah, buy or sell Grimes with DiBiase, Corbin with JBL program. Yeah, it's interesting because they basically ended the DiBiase stuff. I mean, that could work. I could see when Cameron Grimes gets called up an underdog program with him as the underdog babyface against Baron Corbin. So, yeah. You know, with or without DiBiase, I could see that actually being a legitimate program for him when he gets called up. And there's a lot of rumors he's on his way up very soon. The comedic genius. Let me move this up here. The comedic genius. I have just seen someone fall to their knees in Walmart. Well, how about that? You guys were in the same Walmart. You guys need to meet up. Say hello to each other. Based Beerus, God of Seduction, can you play Be the Booker on 2K? At the end of the stream. Not on 2K. We will do Be the Booker, but not on 2K. Food Hive, thank you again for the $1.99. And Mr. Chico, why do you think Diesel never got over in 95? I mean, Diesel was over. He was over. It's not like he was coming out to crickets. People liked him. It's just that he didn't really do business. He didn't do business because some guys get over and some guys don't at that level. If they would have let Kevin Nash be himself, and we saw some of that when literally like the day after they took the title off of him, he came out on Raw the next night. If we had that Diesel, whether heel Diesel, tweener Diesel, let's say, I mean, that Diesel would have gotten over so much more. He would have been so much better off. But they tried to make him into something that he wasn't. It's the same thing they did with Lex Luger when they put the All-American gimmick on him. That's not who Luger was. The people who knew Luger said that that wasn't who Luger was, and he hated it. You know, sometimes you gotta let people be themselves. That was the problem that Vince McMahon made with Diesel. He was a naturally funny, charismatic, sarcastic guy, and that's the complete opposite of what he was meant to be on television. So it just didn't work the way that they wanted it to work. We have... Who else is left? I think we're all caught up. Good. I thought there was one more after that. So we are all caught up. Boom! We are caught up on your super chats. Some good shit. Some good questions there from you guys. Yeah, I mean, look, Kevin Nash... You know, AG the Great in the chat. I mean, Kevin Nash has always been a witty, funny, charismatic guy, but he just was trying to portray the traditional WWF babyface in the way that Vince McMahon wanted him to be. And it just was one of those things where you felt like he's being shoved down your throat, and that's not what people like. It's not what people really respond best to. So he was over to a degree, but not over that he was packing in the buildings just based on who the champion was on the marquee. He wasn't the one guy. There are very few guys, you know. Hogan for Vince, Hogan was one of those guys where you could just put his name on the marquee and he sold tickets. Not everybody has that ability, you know. Stone Cold Steve Austin at his peak in the Attitude Era, if you put Stone Cold Steve Austin on the marquee, that meant something. If you put The Rock on the marquee, that meant something. Today, I don't think there's anybody, honestly. Even Brock Lesnar at this point. He's been back now 10 years. I don't think it means what it used to mean. I don't know that there's a single name that Triple H on the marquee for one of his shows outside the building, you know, will put that person's name, that it would make a lick of difference. Roman Reigns, like, I don't think it matters. Today, it's about the brand. It's not about any one person. That's a very big change from the way the wrestling business used to be many years ago. Keyshawn Johnson, thank you for the $4.99. Buy or sell Undertaker against Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. or the 1992 Royal Rumble. Got plenty of Shawn Michaels Undertaker matches to choose from. There's only one 1992 Royal Rumble. So I'll let you figure out which one I buy on and which one I sell on. I want to thank you guys for smashing our goal tonight. The goal was 300, and we have just passed 500 likes. And so that means that we are going to be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen,
there's Gunther.
There he is.
There's the Intercontinental Champion on your screen. A base God of Seduction, back with another $2. Remember when Scott Steiner reclined Beetlejuice? Yeah, Beetlejuice took a beating. Not only did he get the Steiner recliner, but, of course, the all-time great moment was him taking a Jeff Jarrett guitar to the head, and straight to hell. That is one of the, maybe the best Jeff Jarrett moment. That might have been when Jeff Jarrett's career peaked. When he hit Beetlejuice in the head with the guitar. I remember that. Indeed I do. We're going to begin with the men here and be the Booker. Here on Black Friday, even though it's now officially Saturday, but I still... Hey, when this stream started, it was Black Friday, and as far as I'm concerned, it still is. We begin with Hunter Hearst Helmsley, the Greenwich Snob. This is the earliest version of Triple H. So remember, we go with the version that we have in the image. So this is the version of Triple H that we have landed on here. Just imagine, this guy right here that you're looking at right here on your screen is now the man who is basically running WWE. Creative. He's running WWE Creative. It's this man right here. Hey, Ali, thank you for the sub. I know Mustafa is not having a lot of luck on TV, so he's decided to come join us here on the channel. Welcome, Ollie. You're always welcome here. Let's see. Hunter Hearst Helmsley is going to go one-on-one with the Giant Gonzalez. Triple H and Giant Gonzalez. Even Triple H, when he was Triple H, when he wrestled the great Khali, could not do anything with Khali. I don't think that a young Triple H could do anything with the Giant Gonzalez. That is awful. That is truly one of the worst matches that we have ever landed on here in Be the Booker. Is Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley against the Giant Gonzalez with the furry little bush that he had in his nether regions. He had fur attached to his hair. Fur attached to his hair. What am I even saying? Fur attached to his outfit. Fur attached to your hair. I mean, that kind of negates the purpose, I think. It's getting very late. We have, in the women's Be the Booker, we begin with Snooki. Snooki, who did a... What did she do? Like a handspring back elbow or something at WrestleMania in her match, and everybody thought she was fucking Wendy Richter over here. We have Snooki going one-on-one with Kelly Kelly. What is going on tonight? Oh my God. It's as if you asked me to book the worst possible show that I can book. I'm going to book this territory right into the fucking ground. Kelly Kelly against Snooki. Hunter Hearst Helmsley against the Giant Gonzalez. Stop the pain. It can't get much worse than this. There we go. Finally. We have the Rockers. Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. Save us. Please save us. It'll be the Rockers stepping into the ring with the fabulous Freebirds, and that, my friend, is what you call redemption here in Be the Booker. Thank God, man. We were about to go right off the edge of the cliff, but we got saved here by the tag teams, Freebirds and the Rockers. That'd be a main event on any live event back in the day. Back in the 80s. That would be fantastic. I would love to see that match. That's a great match. That's a great match. Oh, we got Richie with the $5 super chat. What happened to the millionaire son, Ted Jr.? Ted Jr. decided to get out of the wrestling business. I don't know if he's all wrapped up in that whole embezzlement scandal with his father in Mississippi. I think he is, actually. Now that I think about it, I think he's in some hot water with that. So he's got some things to worry about. Thomas, thank you for the $2. This is what happens when you go against apple pie. So because I go against apple pie, I never said I had anything against apple pie. I just said that pecan pie is the superior pie. I like apple pie. I would even tolerate cherry pie. Pumpkin pie, not my thing, but I never badmouthed apple pie. I'm simply putting over pecan pie as the best pie. You know, that's all I said. I'm not hating on apple pie. I think a good warmed up piece of apple pie is very good. It's very delicious. But yeah, Ted Jr. is wrapped up in that same scandal with Brett Favre and a whole bunch of other people. So he's a little busy right now. So tomorrow night, actually less than 24 hours from now, it's Survivor Series. War Games, one of the biggest shows of the year. We're going to be live right back here on YouTube recapping the entire thing. War Games on the main roster for the very first time ever. What will happen with the Bloodline? What will happen in the Women's War Games match? Will we get a special surprise appearance from Boston's own? I don't know, but I'll be here to recap the entire thing. I hope you guys will come back and join me. And then, of course, Sunday is episode 784 of The Sound Off, and then right back here live on Monday night for the post-War Games edition of Monday Night Raw. And until then, I'm going to try to get some sleep and rest up for tomorrow. Big day tomorrow, so be well, stay safe. I hope you guys had a very happy Thanksgiving. Those of you who celebrate, I hope that you ate a lot of food and got to spend time with family, and I hope you'll spend time with me on the Survivor Series recap tomorrow night. Until then, take care, guys.